Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, January 16th, and Jen is with me as always.
As always.
I don't know what I would do without you, Jen.
Oh,
every
Sam.
Every morning.
I don't know what I would do without you.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I doubt that I'm as glowing as you are in the morning, you know. So I don't know where you find that, but it's pretty cool. Keep it up.
Thanks.
Yeah. Always smiling, always in a good mood. That's important, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I just wake up. Nothing really happens between waking up and coming here, so.
Yeah. So it's just your natural temperament, I guess.
I guess.
Which is good. Do you get mad sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's not pretty. It's not.
Okay, well, check your anger outside the door here.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, though. Yeah. That's why it's like a little scary when it does, because it's like, whoa, yeah, what really happened to you today?
Really?
Yeah.
I guess everybody's got some anger inside of them, you know?
Yeah.
Men mostly, though. Men,
yeah.
I think they're like a chip on their shoulder their entire life, you know?
Is that what it is? It's all that testosterone. You
Maybe
guys don't know what to do with it.
Testosterone, exactly. You know, I mean, it's like everywhere you see trouble, it's men, you know? Road rage, you know, starting up fights, things like that.
Time
you know?
For a female president.
Yeah, exactly. I totally support that. You know, I think with, I mean, look, some countries have female leaders and they're doing very well.
Yeah.
You know, so what the hell? You know, why not? I'm hoping we'll be able to elect Hillary Clinton. I think if there's a woman that can do it, I think she can.
I think she can too, and she's got the right people behind her.
Yeah, and experience. You know, she's right. Got a lot of experience. And yeah, who knows? You know, we'll see what happens. I thought she was going to win, you know, the last election, but she didn't.
We weren't ready for that yet.
No, I guess not. So
I think we're getting there.
I hope so. I hope so. I guess we needed a black president before a woman won.
Yep.
You know. So, yeah. But I had some predictions for the last elections. I was totally wrong. So I'm not predicting anything now, and especially when it's like another year away or so, you know. So we'll see what happens. But I guess all the campaigning starts now, huh?
It does.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of things we talk about, I'm sure, in
yeah,
the coming
I know.
Year.
Yeah. I know. Lots of politics, huh? Yeah.
Our
well,
favorite.
We'll try away, stay away from yeah. that as much as possible.
For now, we have award season.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Did we talk? We talked about the nominations for the
we
Oscars,
did.
Right?
But we did not talk about who was snubbed.
Oh,
Selma
okay.
was snubbed.
Yeah, you did say that, though, didn't you?
I don't yesterday. Think I did, or it just occurred to me this morning.
Yeah, you
that,
just mentioned they had no nominations.
Yeah, and that means no African-American nominations at all.
At all, huh?
For the entire
yeah.
awards.
Yeah, I know. I saw those graphs they have online. Like, they're showing it's 99% white and no diversity. And
yeah, the one award that Selma was nominated for was the best song.
Right.
Which, that song is, it gives you chills.
Really?
By Common and John Legend. It is so good.
Oh, wow.
It should win.
Yeah.
It won a Critics' Choice Award last night, and it is just, it won a Golden Globe. It's phenomenal.
Right. But, you know, I don't think it's deliberate, you know, because, I mean, there's been many black performers featured in winning and things like
right.
that, you know, movies.
It just so happens that the one African-American film wasn't nominated. So if it's not nominated, the actors aren't going to be.
Yeah.
And then the other movies aren't.
Is it true, though, the actors are not going to be nominated if the movie isn't?
Not necessarily, but I think that it's sort of like, if it's best film, mm-hmm. it's because of the acting in the film and the directing in the film. So if it's not nominated for best film, then it sort of trickles down.
Right.
But best song sneaks okay. by.
Okay, so, well, at least they got a song in there.
And it's so good. You
yeah.
have to listen to it.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's just been a lot of good movies, you know, and they couldn't fit all of them in. So I don't know, you know. I don't think it's deliberate, though.
I don't think so either.
I don't think people sit there and they go, oh, this is a black movie. I'm not going to vote for
no,
it.
No,
no.
Especially with movies like Django Unchained before it and
exactly.
things like that.
Yeah. But that wasn't a totally black movie, you know. I mean,
no, but it was about slavery.
Yeah, it had the subject matter and stuff. But still, You know, some movies are like entirely black, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. People accept that and it's fine. So, you know, but, you know, again, I don't know why. I think it's the racists that look for these things, you know, because I wouldn't have noticed it, you know, but people do because they look for it in everything.
Right.
You know, in that diversity, whatever it is, looking for it in everything. And the world doesn't work that way, you know?
Well, some people do, and that's, I think they're a little more sensitive to it, so they're looking for it. And then there's the other people that are just like, well, we didn't think it was the best film. Who cares who was in it and what it was about? It just wasn't the best one.
Right. You know, I mean, if you select it because you say, you know what? I selected 9 white films, so I'll select this one too.
It's like affirmative action for
exactly.
the Oscars.
Exactly. Thank you.
Which, that's by the way, I didn't get into college as I wanted to go to because I am not an ethnicity other than white. Like,
wow.
It's like reverse racism.
It is. It's exactly what it is.
How about we just start doing things based on quality?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. When I talk to people, I don't notice white or black.
Neither do I.
I really don't. I don't think about it.
But I don't know that everyone thinks that way. No, not everybody.
But we can't go and you know, and draw conclusions based on a few people.
Right.
You know, so when these people are saying there's no diversity in the Oscars, I wonder what they mean exactly.
Well.
Okay. But at any rate, those are sensitive issues, and everybody's got their opinion about it.
It's true.
And, you know, so what are we going to do?
But maybe we'll, if people had less opinions about things and focus more about themselves.
Yeah, thank
we'd
you.
Be a better place.
Yeah, rather than tell people how to live and judge everybody and stuff, you know, it's like, come on, you know, give us a break.
Yeah, I feel like I'm almost the opposite, like, to a fault. Like, I have blinders on. Like,
yeah.
I have, like, tunnel vision. I'm like, I don't really see what's happening around. I've just got to do things. I got to get places. Got to accomplish.
Yeah, follow your lists.
Right, exactly. I have lists for days. I have to accomplish them. I can't be considering all these other things going on around. Like, you know, it's just too much.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, in a couple of minutes, we're going to get to a very special guest in the studio. We always love to have studio guests here.
Yes.
And just a couple of things here. Remember we talked about the guy in Saudi Arabia that got flogged and everything?
Yes.
So he only got 20 lashes so far. He's supposed to get 1,000.
Holy cow.
So now he's ready for his next 20, and they had a doctor check him, and he's saying the wounds have not healed yet. And my question is, how is he going to survive 20 times of this?
I don't know.
Or 50 times of 20 lashes.
I don't understand how there's like a medical situation happening. Like, if it's an issue that causes him medical issues, why are we going to continue with it?
Right. Because they need to punish him, because these people don't really think the way we do. You know, it's like, let's punish him, whatever happens.
But it's like they're almost getting close to, like, kind of, I don't even know what the word is, but it's to even consider that a doctor should check him out means that they know there's something wrong with it, but they're going to keep doing it.
Right.
But they're getting close to, like, some kind of moral or medical consideration.
Yeah.
It's a little backwards.
Yeah.
I would think that if they're going to do some kind of barbaric act like lashing, they're going to not consider the medical aspect.
Right, because you don't think they're sensitive people, but I guess they don't want to kill him. So maybe that's why they're doing that.
Very strange.
You know? Yeah, like he's going to survive 1,000 lashes. Come on. He gets 50 lashes 20 times. Wow.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
What a backwards place.
I know. I mean, they're stuck in the Stone Age, and I just feel bad for the people that have to live there and
me too.
Deal with this. But, you know, you have to admire the people that go for free speech, and he knew what he was doing, and he took the chance still, you know, for free speech.
I love that free speech is now a conversation happening all over the world.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, the award shows are just like fancy dinners and like a glorification of celebrities. But when they do use their power for good and are like really driving home the fact that free speech is the utmost, you know, right, that they continue to repeat it in speech after speech. And like last night at the Critics' Choice Award, Jessica Chastain, you know, continued her speech with it and was saying how we get to make movies about all these different things. This is what we do. This is art. This is freedom of speech. This is what we do. And that is incredible.
Right.
The fact that we're sitting in a room where she was, we're not. But, you know, with movies that are made across, like, one's about ALS, one's about Martin Luther King, one is about Stephen Hawking, and like all different kinds of things. Like, and then Alan Turing, like gay, straight, black, white,
right.
You know, some kind of medical issues. That is the whole point.
Right.
We can talk about all of these things because we're allowed.
Yeah. And movies like The Interview, of course.
Well, and then
which started
that.
All
that. I promise you, I'm going to watch it this weekend, and I will tell you what I think about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody told me it was pretty funny, you know, and I thought, well, it's Seth Rogen, you know. I mean, he's pretty funny.
I love him.
Yeah.
And James Franco.
And James Franco. Is he funny, too?
Yeah, he's really funny.
Funny.
He's a really funny guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, yeah, so it might be worth seeing, you know, just for the hell of it.
Yep.
Even though people are saying it's not that great. I don't know.
Well, I'll let you know my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get to our guest now who's sitting here patiently, and we admire that. We have Mr. Nick Arnett in the studio. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Great to be here.
Yes. Thank you.
It's a nice opening dialogue, too. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you. Did
Thanks.
You really?
I did.
Well, good. Yeah. You should. You know, that's why we hope we have listeners that enjoy it as much, too. You know, otherwise we're here for nothing.
Well, we're not. I like that. It's just kind of like you guys are like people you just want to hang out and have coffee with. And, yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's the type of show it is. You know, it's like to give people nothing scripted, you know, nothing prepared. And we just go with the flow, and we love our guests and stuff. So are you an Angeleno in origin? Were you born and raised here?
I've been here 24 years. But I
so grew it's up definitely in home for you.
Yeah, I grew up in Denver.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. You should move back there. You can smoke weed for free now, or at least not get caught.
Do you know the real estate in Denver? My nephew is in home building, and it's the most expensive real estate in the country that's not next to water. Denver.
What?
Really?
Isn't that something?
Wow. Because of the mountains or the...
Well,
what
you
is
know,
it?
Denver is wonderful. It really is. I probably, when I retire... Might live there, you know, for my last years, but it's not that great. It's like really landlocked, and there's not a whole lot of stuff around it.
Around it, that's right.
It's a little bit overrated. A little. I'm sorry, everybody.
But I'd like to go and visit, though, because, you know, everybody says Colorado's beautiful, you know, so why not visit
but
check
Denver's
it out?
Really dry and
is
not
it really?
That green.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go up to the mountains, but everybody thinks it's all mountains, just like you would think Oregon is all mountains, but the, like or Washington, but the eastern part is... High desert, basically. So.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But you have lots of mountains there. I mean, obviously, the Rockies and everything.
Yeah.
Did you participate in, like, winter sports and stuff when you lived there?
I did. Well, I used to ski, and then we did, it was called tubing. You'd slide down on an inner tube.
Uh-huh.
That
fun.
Was the most fun ever. Yeah, that
I've never
was great.
Done that.
And the best part ever, you could do this anywhere, where you'd tie a rope to the a bumper, and then you'd pull an inner tube behind a car.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was the best. Oh, it was so fun.
And driving on the snow and stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
You could do that anywhere. There's snow, which is most of the country, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we haven't experienced tubing, because we haven't lived in snowy places.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're that's overrated, too. Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's okay.
I can't even handle today's weather. It's like a little too cold for me.
It's cold in here, too.
It
like,
is.
Like, if I wanted to be cold, I wouldn't live here, right?
That's true.
People over air conditioned all the time.
Yeah.
Well, they did say this was the hottest year. 2014 was the hottest year ever.
Right.
Or in the last, like, I don't know.
Well, since they've been keeping record.
Yeah.
Right. And
we survived.
Yeah.
We did.
Still here.
Yeah, we're still here. But you know what? It might get worse. I don't know. I mean, you see, we've got this drought, this terrible drought here. And I'm sure this has to do with the climate change, you know.
You know what I know, though? And I'm sure you know this, too. But we do get enough rain to sustain L.A. if we could hold on to it, but we have so much pavement here that most of it goes right back into the ocean.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But we also we don't get a lot of snow in the mountains and stuff, you know. So now we're digging into the groundwater, which is like last resort, you know. So it's going to take a lot of rain to make up for it.
I don't understand why people can still water their lawns though. Why is that? Because that's really useless. This is really a desert environment.
Right.
It's not really made.
Well,
to
not
have
really.
Green
I mean, Southern California is pretty green, I would say.
Because they irrigate, yes.
Yeah.
Because we pay for it.
And maybe we used to get a lot of rain here at one point. I don't know.
Who knows?
I remember, like 15 years ago, we had El Nino and all that stuff. It was pouring here all the time.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I didn't live here then.
Yeah.
Then again, I was in Miami with hurricanes, so I don't think that was better.
Where you are, it's something. So anyone
it's
out there,
something.
Wherever you are, y'all got your stuff. We have ours.
Exactly.
Right.
We've got
the grass is always greener, or it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have that traffic. that nobody has.
And we have the traffic. Although I got to admit, you know, I've been in big cities and you always have a lot of traffic, at least during rush hour.
Oh, yeah. When I lived in Miami my whole life until I moved here, worst traffic ever.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Interesting you say that. A friend of mine in Hawaii said they had the worst traffic ever.
Yeah, that's
like
what they're saying.
She talked about going 2 miles, took her a couple hours sometimes.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that might be the worst.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
That Hawaii is not doing well. You know, and you know, I mean, more small places like Vegas. I used to live in Vegas. I lived there twice, in the 70s and in the 90s. And the way it is now, it's huge. You can't even find your way around, and the traffic is bad. The traffic is really bad in Vegas, especially around the Strip, you know, a couple blocks from the Strip and stuff. And I don't even recognize it, you know. So the traffic, I mean, yeah, L.A. gets bad rep and stuff. But it's also because I think we drive distances here that you don't have in other places, too. So you really feel the traffic. You know,
right. I have a solution for everyone, no matter where you live. When you're caught in bumper-to-bumper traffic, put your car in neutral and let the earth rotate.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll work.
Yeah, you'll get there eventually, right?
I have solutions to problems. You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people are strapped for cash here. I wanted to get my windows tinted. Now, that's like almost $500 to get a really good job.
Uh-huh.
So I bought a box of fruit roll-ups, and I put them on
and
there.
And you put it on the window.
Yeah.
Wow, that works.
Yeah. So I have shade in the day and a snack at night if I need it. I'm a problem
you
solver, everybody.
You need a lot of fruit roll-ups for that.
Yeah. And also, just another thing, the stuff that bugs me is all the road construction we have in L.A. You know, I don't know. But this is the whole thing. You're all backed up needlessly, because when you finally get up there, there's 50 guys standing around watching one person work, right?
And yes.
Right? And who's that? It's always the woman holding the sign. It says, slow men working.
Yeah.
Right? That was a courtesy laugh there, Jen.
No, I liked it.
Okay.
Well, that was funny.
What a
that
great
funny,
voice
but,
Jen has.
But you're familiar with laughing and stuff. I mean, they promote you as a funny guy and the feel-good funny guy. And so let's tell people a little bit about what it is that you do.
Okay. Well, I started – my background is in comedy.
Okay.
So that's where I started in the nightclubs and stuff. So way back
like
when.
Like stand-up and stuff?
Uh-huh.
So that what brought you to L.A.?
I started – yes, it is. I started in Denver March 26, 1984. But the summer of 1980, I saw Tim Allen on stage at a club called the Comedy Works. And from at that point, I said, this is something I want to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very interesting.
So several years later, I opened for him several times when he would come through Denver. So it was great. And Roseanne was on the scene in Denver at that time.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
And she was really nice. And yeah, so I could say Roseanne has ridden in my car. I've given Roseanne a ride home.
Oh,
her
cool.
husband at the time, Bill Pentland.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a great comedy scene in Denver. Wonderful. Yeah.
So did you always feel you were attracted to funny things? Were you always
a
funny guy?
I'm generally pretty quiet. On the Myers-Briggs, I'm ENFP, but I really do need time alone. I do get tired. Like after in a group of people, I'm pretty energetic and I engaging, but afterwards I'm usually pretty tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need some time to chill. So I'm and I'm kind of shy generally. I don't like a lot of attention brought on myself. So
that's amazing. How for a performer to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you still perform?
I still do. I do some comedy. It was mostly all private gigs, though, like a company event or, you know, associations, that kind of stuff. That's what I do now at this day. Well, I'm middle aged now. The comedy clubs, you know,
they look for
dad's
the younger
age.
People.
I'm the dad's age or the grandpa's age.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. We used to be the youngest guy in the room, right?
But we're the coolest. Our generation, by far, Sam, is way cool. I don't know how. Well, I'm not going to ask you how old, but
no,
I'm a baby
54.
Boomer.
I'm not.
You look good.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm in your age range.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. By the way, my birthday is January 28th out there, everybody.
Oh,
so it's coming up.
Yeah, so
it's coming up soon. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll find out where we can send you things in the end.
It's a bad month for birthdays, by the way. January?
No, December is bad.
Well, I think, Jen, I think, why is December bad? Then I'll tell you why I think, Jen.
December is awful because your birthday gets muddled into other things. It's less important. People are away for your birthday because of the holidays.
And there's a lot of birthdays in December.
There's so many.
So it's less significant.
Right. And it's just, it's overwhelming, December.
Yeah. But you say
however,
January is pretty bad, too.
I think January is worse because you get all the after Christmas stuff people took back. Or you get re-gifted.
Yeah,
that's re-gifted. True. You're right. I didn't even think about that.
I got an irregular electric blanket, and it's solar powered. So.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, right. That's a joke.
Right.
Yeah, obviously.
I was trying to figure out how that works. I'm like, you're inside. There's no sun.
Even worse.
Yeah, he's quick.
I need more coffee.
So this is cool. So you decided you want comedy, and then at a certain point you decided L.A. is the place to be for comedy.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. I did the comedy and... Yeah, so the way it started, I just got to better. It actually started with Church Youth Group. We had these things, they had skits. And so I'd get up there, and I never was comfortable until I heard people laugh. Even in high school, if I had to get up in front, or junior high especially, if I had to get up and work in front of the class at the board, I would be so nervous. But if I could say something funny, then immediately I felt like we had a bond.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I could relax fine. Yeah,
because you're loosening up the people with laughter, right? So
yeah,
it breaks the ice.
The shortest distance between two people is a good laugh.
Yeah, I see.
I don't know who made that up. I didn't make that up. Somebody did, whoever you are out there.
That's sorry. Okay, but we
like
heard
it
from you first. So.
Yeah. So when you have a good laugh, you immediately have a bond.
Yeah.
Just like you guys. Like, right, we're having some
laughs
together, right?
And women always say, I love to laugh.
Yep.
It makes me laugh. You know, it's like sometimes I feel like, am I supposed to be a clown or something and make you laugh all the time? But women love that for men.
Well, that's what they say. But, Jen, this is the deal. We've got to get into this, too. But women say they want a guy who can make them laugh. And, okay, I can do that. But you know, I'm still single. I'm on the eHarmony.
So it's not enough.
Yeah, it is not the whole deal.
It's an opening, but it's not everything.
It's not everything. No, no.
Well, but you got to keep him entertained and stuff. So you're on eHarmony now, really?
I'm on the eHarmony.
Yeah. Yes.
How's that going?
Is that pretty cool?
Well, here's the deal. This is you've got to take this questionnaire. It takes about an hour and a half before they even let you in.
That's the process.
What I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So then if you pass that, okay, this is how it worked. So I did that and I passed, okay? I studied really hard and I passed.
Yeah, right.
So then...
You're not supposed to pass a test
like that, right?
They accept you.
They can reject you. They can
really?
Say, you can't, we can't help you. They can
based on what, for example?
Your answers. Like if you're saying, I don't know, that you want like little children or something, they're probably not going to let you on the
site. Come on, who's going to write that?
I don't know, but they
would
get rejected.
I mean, yeah, what would they reject
Or some people
for?
That can't bond or something. I don't know, because I had a good friend, a great guy, and he got rejected. And he's a good guy, really good guy. Yeah.
So you passed. You got
I passed.
Accepted.
Okay, so then I Southern California, 15 million singles here, right?
Uh-huh.
I only need one.
Uh-huh.
I click no matches.
No matches.
Okay, so then I expand my horizons.
And they've got to have a few million. Probably.
I expand my horizons, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'll go anywhere Southwest Airlines flies in one stop, all right? Because sometimes at that time, when I first started, they had these $29 airfares. So I figured that's a cheap day, right? So I click, again, no matches.
Yeah,
what?
Wow.
So I lowered my criteria. I said, I'll go anywhere in the world. And I even said heavy facial hair, okay. All right? So I clicked, and now I have a cat.
You have a cat. Okay.
But okay, this is
really
true.
That's got accepted into eHarmony.
This really happened, Sam. Yeah. This really happened. One time on eHarmony, I got matched with a woman who was in the Miss America contest.
Oh, wow.
Matched with me. Okay?
Wow, very cool.
All right. But she didn't like me. So that bummed me out because I'm a sensitive guy. I'm an artist, you know, temperament. So I was really sad. But a couple months later, this is so cool. And this is no lie. I got matched with a woman who was in the Miss Universe contest. Matched with me. And I flew out to see her on Southwest Airlines.
You did? To where?
To San Jose. And she looked at me, and she gave me $29 to fly back home.
That's cool. Well, at least she was generous.
Here's the cool thing. I have now been rejected at the very highest level.
Yes. You went from Miss America to Miss Universe.
Yeah. Who are you, Miss Burbank? Well, you can't hurt my feelings.
Exactly.
You know, I've been rejected by Miss Universe.
You've come to the top. Nothing. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that I'm sure. Have you been married before?
Never married.
Never married.
Isn't that sad? People
no,
look at
not
me like
really.
I'm a garage sale item.
It's not sad. I mean, some people don't want to get married. Some people don't think they're prepared for it or want to give away their freedom. And stuff,
that's a fact.
Know?
And the older you get, I think the harder that
it is
as well.
It is. And the women get older too, and they're not as attractive anymore.
Whoa, whoa.
I call them as I see them.
That's controversial.
You know?
What about the guys, right? Because I have totally, Sam, I'm only
no,
speaking
I mean,
for
men
myself
hit the wall
here.
Too, you know?
I'm only speaking for myself, but I have completely lost my mojo. It is so gone. Women, now I'm the best friend of women, but they no longer see me. They meet with me to talk about guys that they like. That's where I'm at. And it's like, hey, me, I'm right here. I mean, look, I'm right here. But no, they don't. I'm not.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. And look, Jen didn't chime in. She didn't chime in and say, oh, dude, you still got it. She didn't say anything.
Right.
So that validates
me. I feel bad.
She could have said something, but she didn't. Validation.
I feel bad. I mean, I don't know what you guys go through. I know what we go through.
Yeah, I know.
But
I know. It's tough, I think, for both, you know. And yeah, I mean, aging is just a tough thing, period, you know?
Which is why I'm so concerned. I just turned 30, and I'm like, I'm going to anti-age the shit out of my face because I want to look young forever because you guys apparently hate when women age. So,
well,
yikes.
I don't think women are very happy with the way men look at their 50s, 60s either.
Well, no, everyone says men get better with age.
They look good when they have a lot of money.
That's what they say. Sure. Exactly.
They look
great
then.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, just don't ever, women out there, don't try to do the plastic surgery stuff because it just doesn't make people look better. Right?
No, it's scary.
No.
It's scary.
I mean, seriously, I did a show in Beverly Hills, the big plastic surgery audience. Their faces had so much plastic surgery, their faces were being held back by a chip clip.
You know? Oh, that image.
I know.
Hurts.
But anyway, it gets a little too much, especially the lips. The lip thing is really horrible, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it's terrible. And they get that Joker look, you know?
Yeah,
they look
exactly.
Like this, you know? If you notice, you'll see all these facelifts and stuff, all that surgery, it makes them all look the same. The one that just died, Joan Rivers, she had that look. You know, they all have that look now.
And it becomes addicting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have saggy eyes. See, I have really saggy eyes out there. And so, but I have all this flab here, right, Jen?
Okay, well, you don't want to mention that as long as you're still looking for a woman.
Well, it is what it is. They'll find out sooner
maybe
or later.
Maybe that's not why why you're not finding.
But the cool thing about the flab over my eyes, I put a toothpick there. I have a little awning for my eyes when it's
sunny. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, but you can take that, you can have that clipped off, all that flab.
Really? Yeah, because I have it too, yeah.
But sometimes they take too much and you go around looking surprised all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, what happened?
But Jen, you said something really good and Sam, you led right into it. It's just a great interview. That you're in a good mood all the time, like frequently, right?
It's
very, this is an interesting statistic, you guys. The average American is in a bad mood 3 out of 10 days.
Really?
Wow. That's average. Now, that's not saying they're in a bad mood all day long, but it hits them 3 out of 10 days. So a third of the people listening right now to us are
in
a bad mood. They're ticked off.
Right.
Right? Only 2% of Americans are in a good mood every single day, and that's you. Interesting. 5% say they're in a bad mood 4 out of 5 days. A week.
What?
Really?
5%.
Wow. That's terrible. They need antidepressants.
So know what's out there.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. The depressants. I was reading, and don't take my word for it. Do your own research here, friends. But exercise is such a wonderful thing. Walking, it's a Duke University study, walking 3 times a week for 30 minutes is as equivalent, according to the study, as any antidepressant that we have available.
Really?
Yes.
I'll have to try that.
I believe it.
If you're on medication, though, please don't just stop because you heard some guy in the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Ask the doctor.
Yeah. But do incorporate exercise, even if you don't feel like it. And that's a concept also that I would like everyone to have. Make yourself do something every day that you don't feel like doing.
Right.
Show your body that you're in charge of your body. You're in charge, whether it's getting up a few minutes earlier, exercising, or skipping maybe that muffin that you were going to eat or something. Make yourself in charge, and you'll feel a lot better about stuff.
Sounds
starting.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we get to the next portion, and that is you're not just a funny guy, but you're a motivational speaker. You have programs and stuff like that, and you've written books. You brought us a couple books.
Yeah.
The first one's called The Book of Dude.
The Book of Dude.
I like that.
Yeah, that's not a motivational. It's just a silly book. Pure silliness. And it's you know that word dude?
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever think that'll catch on all over the world? Like you'd be in Italy, they'd call you Dudolini.
Yeah.
Or in Mexico, you'd be Madudo. So you can name me any country, and I will attempt to name a dude from it. Any country.
Yeah. Where does the dude...
Israel.
Israel. Dude.
Clearly not the first time you've been asked that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, where does the dude go to college? Purdue.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. So how did you get an idea for a book like this? I mean, you realize one day, hey, I can use the word for anything, and it's funny?
Well, yeah, I just... I had a friend... that called me, dude, all the time. So I was just wondering about that. You know, what would they, I wonder if they do that all over the world. What would they say?
Yeah.
Who would the dude be? Yeah.
My uncle says it all the time. I kind of want to bring this to him tonight and be like, here. Yeah. All the times you call me, dude.
Good.
Yeah. That'll be appropriate for him.
It's just the best. And it's not going away, that word, dude. That book's been out over 20 years. And
wow.
Dude,
wow,
dude really? Still works, yeah.
Wow. It's a cool illustrated book. It's thin with jokes and funny things and stuff.
Yeah, it's
and
riddles. It's only $1.99 on the electronic reader like Kindle or Nook. Only $1.99, everybody.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah, go out, check it out. The Book of Dude by Nick Arnett.
Or $5 on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, too.
Yeah, it's a nice book. I would get the printed one.
Get the printed one.
I like printed books better, you know. I mean, I still get some Kindle ones sometimes, but that's when I want to read in the dark and stuff. And
yeah.
You know. So, but other than that, I'd rather have the, you know, or if you want a book right away or something. But I'm never like that. I'll wait the couple of days to get it from Amazon, you know. But when you have a printed book, you can display it on your bookshelf later, you know. You have a memory of it. You have something physical of it.
Yeah, and mine has good color. It's like a nice orange bright.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to your other book, which is more serious, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a balance of everything.
It's called Me, We, and Glee. How long ago did you write this one?
It's been out a couple, I guess three years now. I think I need to, I'm going to update it probably this year or maybe next because it's still relevant and current. But Me, We, and Glee, how to have a great attitude, work as a team, and keep your sense of humor. So that's exactly what the book is about.
That's cool. So you work with teams now? You train teams?
I do work with teens at a nonprofit in Los Angeles, and I love it. I work there part-time, which is wonderful because it gives me a lot of balance to my life, and it lets me share what I know with them.
Right.
So, and they're in drug rehab. It's a residential rehab, and I'm in charge of the education there. And I just absolutely love it.
Wow.
And one thing I want to tell everyone out there, I have not had that issue in my life, but I think we all have had the issue of wanting to feel good all the time and wanting to be happy all the time. For instance, these drug addicts or anybody has an addiction, or basically anybody in LA thinks there's something wrong with them if they're not happy all the time.
Right.
Hey, I don't feel good. I'm not happy. Something's wrong. I need something to make me feel better. And happiness is highly overrated out, friends. If you're not happy, you're doing just fine. Because just by definition, we can't be happy all the time. It's based on the word happenstance, which is means it's based on circumstances.
Yeah.
Like this sometimes. Makes me really happy to be here,
right.
Talking to you guys and people listening. But I'm not always here. There's
a lot
of times where I'm on the phone trying to get a gig, competing against a whole bunch of other people, lots of rejection. That's not fun.
Right.
But you have to have things to hang your hat on that keep you going, things to look forward to. Joy is the word. It's an internal sense of well-being regardless of the circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
Or content, you know. I mean, if you're content and stuff, you don't have to be happy all the time, but at least you're okay with what
you
have.
Okay. Yeah.
And, that's interesting.
And knowing life has its levels. It's not always great. And, and certainly a lot of good things come out of bad situations.
Yeah, I mean, that's what life is about, you know.
Exactly.
We don't come here to have an easy life.
It's not
would
fun.
Be boring.
No, we definitely don't have an easy life.
Yeah.
I get my dating jokes from that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a date there. An eHarmony date, and I met her for coffee, and she looks at me. She goes, "You look just like my old boyfriend. He was your age. Everything looks just like you. And he's your age, but he looks 10 years younger than you."
So, she did not.
She did that.
Oh, no.
Yes. So that,
oh, man. Some people say the wrong things. I'm telling you.
I have a lot of foot and mouth moments. It happens.
Really?
It is what it is. Yeah.
I know. When you talk fast, sometimes it happens.
Right.
It happens to me sometimes as well, where your mouth is faster than your brain.
Right. The censorship just doesn't always click in.
Yeah.
So some of the concepts in the book, the first chapter, the me part, is attitude. And let's just start when somebody says or does something that upsets you. You have three choices. You've got to ask yourself three questions. What part of this can I do nothing about? And there are a lot of things you can do nothing about. You really are not in charge of another person's attitudes or behavior. You're not.
Right.
You can do nothing about that. What part of this can I do something about? Well, that's when you are in charge. You can choose to ignore it. You can choose to move on. You can choose to not let it get to you. Never let anyone determine what kind of day you're going to have or what kind of person you're going to be, right? And then the third is just really silly, and it's meant to be, and it's how can I keep these negative thoughts going and get myself even more upset? And then in this way, you're playing your mind all the ways you things that you could do to respond, but they would be completely inappropriate. That way you know how not to respond.
Right.
Yeah. But you're in charge.
Yeah.
So that
and that's what people need to understand, is that the things beyond our control, you know, that's the serenity prayer, right? I mean, you're like in rehab and stuff there, work at rehab.
Right.
You're not a patient. And so you guys talk about that.
Exactly. At the end of every meeting they have, they do that, right?
Right. You know the serenity prayer?
I do.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's, and that's the thing. It's hard to accept when you can't change things, you know. And I think it comes with age where you realize, hey, the world does not revolve around me.
Right.
You know, and I'm just a little speck. And, you know, and all I can control is my life, not somebody else's.
Something else people should remember out there is when something does upset you, if you continue to play that through your head, some of the things that have happened in your life that didn't work out, perhaps. You know, your subconscious mind is treating it as if it's happening again. You're putting yourself through that situation. Your body physiologically responds to it as if it's happening again.
Wow.
So when you have those things, you really have to, again, this is where you're in charge. You're an active person, not a reactive person. You choose to think about other things
right.
or do other things. And it might even be just going out and getting that walk. For instance, I walk a couple times a day for 4 or 5 days a week at least. And I listen to podcasts while I walk, and they're positive. And it's just, I look forward, I associate the two. And again, I don't always feel like walking. When you ever say, I don't feel like it, that's exactly when you should start.
When you should do it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the hardest thing for you to do.
It really is.
Yeah, wow. I know, I need to. And walking is fun, you know? It's not like running, it's not too, you know, too rigorous.
I'm not a big gym person. I mean, you can do push-ups and sit-ups and stuff. And again, gym people, God bless you. I'm glad you like it. I just don't. I don't like waiting for stuff. I can go out and walk and enjoy that. And but I'm at a, you know, hiking. But I mean, you can do that. Just do you like the gym, Jen?
I don't love the gym, but I love yoga, and it's at the
yoga
gym.
Yoga is great. Okay, but I don't like being on the machines because it's like all sweaty from somebody else. I don't like that.
Right, and to me, that's more of like you have to lift weights because then you have to have muscles. For me, yoga is more like therapeutic, and it's like a mind body spirit thing, and it's great. So you get a workout and you get all those other benefits, whereas just lifting weights, I'm like, I don't care about this. This is stupid.
There was a time when I did. I had a trainer and it was fun being that strong and all, but it, you know, it went away. I'm losing weight. I've lost over 10 pounds since January.
What's your secret?
Do you really want to hear?
Yes.
Really?
Tell me everything.
Here's the breakfast. I have a Vitamix. You don't have to have a Vitamix for the breakfast, but for the dinner part, you do, or something like it. Anyway, the breakfast is protein powder. I like the Citrus Sport. I get it at Costco, chocolate. It's about $50 a bag, but the bag will last you at least 2 months. Mm-hmm. So just one scoop of that with a couple cups of coffee or any liquid you want. I use coffee in mine. Mm-hmm. And then chia seeds, a scoop of chia seeds, which is about a tablespoon and a half, I'd say. A little bit of nutmeg, a half a teaspoon of cinnamon, and a little bit of about a tablespoon of coconut oil.
Wow.
And a couple small figs, really small figs, dried figs. I get at Trader
Joe's. It
sounds
delicious.
Yeah. And then I blend it up, and that keeps me full until lunch, easily.
Wow.
Even at lunch, I'm not hungry. And then for lunch, I just have a cup of Greek yogurt. Uh-huh. And then dinner, I just load up my Vitamix. I fill it about a third. I pack down leafy greens, kale and spinach, collard greens. I just smash them down as dense as I can get them. Then I put an apple, a pear, a few frozen berries to get the vitamin C. Because apparently vitamin C helps you absorb the greens better.
Okay.
So anyway. And what else do I put in there? Banana, a couple carrots.
So, I mean, do you eat anything solid or is it just like all
that's it? Well,
liquid stuff?
I do have a handful or two of cashews. Yeah,
okay.
And that's about it.
What brought on this diet?
Yeah, how do you survive, man?
Well, you know what? I sleep a lot better. I don't really get hungry.
Really?
It's interesting. And what brings it on is I have a wicked sweet tooth. So it'll come back to me. By the end of the year, I'll be back to where I was.
Yeah.
And then I'll do this again in January.
Yeah, at least you'll be healthy for
a
while.
I look forward to gaining it back because I love a good hamburger. There's no better food in the world than a good hamburger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does work. And then I do walk as well. So, but I think most of the weight loss is through diet. Because when I did have a trainer, I didn't lose any weight at all.
Yeah. They say it's 80% diet.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because working out, I mean, you convert a lot of fat into muscle, so you don't really lose weight that much. You know, you need to watch about what you intake, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you're on a diet, have you noticed this, that no one else is on one and they all want to ruin your diet?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do this.
Yeah, eat this, eat that. That's true. I do it to people all the time. I'm like, just eat it now, you know, you really want it.
Because I'm pretty tall. I mean, I'm pretty tall. I have a 6'1", I have a 34-inch inseam, and my waist is 36. I'm a yard around. Okay.
Okay.
So if I'm 34 long and 36 around, that means that I can roll faster than I can run.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So that's just not, I got to get it. I've got to at least be even. Okay. 34. Yeah. That's my goal.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to get it. Now, here's the deal. Now, this is, I don't know this man, okay? I don't know this man, so I'm not criticizing him, but I don't get it. You know Dr. Oz, right?
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing, and this is the thing. I used to watch Dr. Oz, and every time he had a weight loss miracle, I would try it out.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that got thinner was my wallet, right?
Really?
Most of it didn't work. But one day he had this weight loss expert on there, and I'd never seen this man before, and I'd heard of him, Dr. Wheel.
Mm. Never heard of him.
Do you have internet there, right?
Right.
And is it, okay. Well, here, I think I have
it. Well, it doesn't matter. Just tell us about it.
Well, just look at him.
Okay, but
here he is,
help.
Jen. Would you take weight loss advice from him?
No. He looks like a Buddha.
And he knows all about nutrition.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know this guy. He's written a lot of books,
but he's talking about
right?
weight loss.
Yeah, I know.
But look at him.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
He looks like Santa.
How come he's not? What's...
Well, Dr. Phil was like that too, right? I mean,
Dr.
he
Phil
lost some weight.
Loss,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, all these people that need to lose weight are teaching you how to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, you know. It's just like you without your success with women, teaching people how to go on a date.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go. That was good, Sam.
That was good.
Yeah. That didn't
Clever.
Even hurt because I'm here with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And because he's smiling while saying
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
But everybody check out Nick's website while we're talking to him. It's Nick Arnett, ArnettTTE.com. And you can find out more information now. So you work with organizations too to motivate people and
yeah,
things like
well,
that?
Yeah, well, my talks are, you know, about half humor and half message. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I'm the feel-good funny guy. Because people are more receptive to learning new things when they're in a good mood and when they're laughing, especially so.
True.
So that's the whole...
That's probably why they do those comedy traffic schools, right?
Because, exactly.
Because if you noticed, I don't know if you ever had to go to traffic school because of a ticket or something when you get a driving ticket. But you go, you spend the whole day there, and it's a group of people, and there's somebody just teaching you the driving rules, the rules of the road and things like that, just so they can remove this from your insurance.
Right. That sounds a lot more fun than the online program that they have you do, too.
Yeah,
I've
exactly.
done the online one.
And they have, like, comedy store traffic school and all that, and they bring comedians to teach that. So I think that's the same thing.
So, yeah, if it didn't work, they wouldn't continue to do it. But so generally they'll have me as a keynote or during lunch or something, but something entertaining and humor, so they do both. And I like that. I much prefer having some kind of a reason why I'm up there, not just to do comedy. Even though I do just comedy only, but I prefer when I can actually share a message along with it.
Yeah. So you work at a rehab center?
I do, yeah, part-time. It's the best job I've ever had.
Really? What drew you to it?
Why or where?
Yeah, what? What drew you to this kind of work?
Well, I used to teach in LA Unified.
Oh,
and I used
okay.
to teach there. They actually used to have a class there with LA Unified. And then the budget cuts came. And I was an intern at that time in the intern program with LAUSD. So then that was gone. And I didn't really like anything else, any other classroom settings. That's the one I liked. Uh-huh. So I just left. And then they left. LA Unified left from there because they kept cutting the budget. So then they asked me to come back and run the education. So the kids go to school once a week somewhere else or online. And then I'm there 4 days a week to actually run a classroom setting. And then I also get them registered in school and finding the right program for them, helping them graduate, and talking to them. A lot of it, I'd say at least half of it, is just talking to them, helping them get through their day, Very cool. Because they're all dealing with stuff. Yeah.
Sounds now, like a fulfilling job. Oh, just. And fun.
Absolutely love it. Yeah. Just love it. Yeah.
So your book, Me, We, and Glee, just briefly tell us what it's about.
Well, there's three sections in there. Uh-huh. One is me, and that's about the attitude. And then the second one is we, and that's about teamwork. And just briefly, teamwork, what is teamwork? I'll give you all the quiz out there. Would it be a group of people working together to achieve a common purpose? Would it be one person does all the work, but the rest of the group does none of the work, but the rest of the group gets the credit and you get none? Mm. Or would it be everybody does an equal amount of work, but somebody in another group gets all the credit? Which one is teamwork? Well, actually, you know, they're all correct.
Really?
Because teamwork needs to be defined. It's a very vague term. Particularly right. In the U.S., we are not team players, friends. We are not.
It's a very individualistic society.
Very
that
much
we
so.
Have. Yeah.
Yeah. It's individual achievements are celebrated, aren't
right.
they?
Yeah.
Best actor in a movie. You mentioned Academy Awards, but mm-hmm. it's all about the individual for the most part.
Right. As opposed to Japan and China and other places in Asia where it's the group. That is more important, I think.
Yeah,
than the individual.
You think about your favorite sports teams. It's the first couple marquee players. The rest of them, you don't even know who they are. Mm-hmm. They don't matter. So right. That's how it is. So, right. So it really needs to be defined, because things are so vague. Like I think most organizations, I think every organization should have at least one mission statement that's simple that everyone knows.
Right.
So then. Because when you have that, if you know what it is, then everything you do will be based on that. Could it be provide the best customer service to everyone, to treat everyone as you would treat a family member, for instance, might be one.
Right.
And to remember that. That's how you're supposed to treat people. If right. everybody knows that, then you're working towards a common goal.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very fascinating. So, Nick, how could people find you? How could they find your books?
Oh, they can find it on my website, nickarnett.com. It's also available at amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. On Amazon, the easiest way to find it is just search Nick Arnett in my books and right. CDs. Because I have a CD. It's all clean comedy. My brand of humor
is
clean humor. Uh-huh. I get a lot of play on Laugh USA on Sirius. But it's
very
all clean cool. humor.
So yeah, life in Los Angeles, dudes around the world.
Boomers and hipsters. Can't wait to listen to that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. It looks pretty interesting.
And the third chapter of my book is about humor, how to add more humor to your life and the importance of humor.
Oh, there's one on eHarmony.
Yeah, see? That one gets a lot of play. Yeah.
And saggy eyes. These are all the things you talk about.
See? I incorporate things.
We haven't talked about air guitar.
Look.
What are we looking at now?
Oh, did
he's showing us something on the phone. Jen is trying to figure
Denise
out what it is.
Denise wants to know you.
On eHarmony. I've got to find out who Denise is, but she
yeah,
wants
you do.
To get to know me.
Will you let us know what happens with you
yeah.
and Denise?
Yeah,
see?
Cool.
See, I come in here and all these good things happen.
Yeah, yep. Do you blog? I see you have a blog here.
Yeah, but I
website.
Have not been blogging very much. I apologize.
Yeah.
But find me on Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook, I've got a page, and LinkedIn, of course. I won't turn down any Facebook requests. So, yeah, do. Find me on Facebook, because I post something motivational every day on there. Every day I have a motivational quote on Facebook. So that's
very
a reason
cool.
to go there. Yeah. And I'm going to post being with you guys. I hope we can get
awesome.
A picture.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a picture right now. And very cool. So everybody check out Nick Arnett at his website, nickarnett.com. There's links to Facebook and all the other places, biography, audio and videos. I mean, you put in a lot of effort into this website and it shows.
Thank
so that's
you.
Very cool. Nick, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's so much fun. Anybody out there, if you're in town,
come on in.
Here. These guys are so nice.
Come hang out.
Yeah.
This is
great.
Well, don't start inviting everybody here. We're going to have a line outside.
They have free butterscotch candies in the lobby.
That's true. We do.
Yeah,
come for the
like
candy.
That.
Stay
there
for
are
a conversation.
Three of them left? Oh, three.
Yeah.
I thought you said three. I was thinking, wow, somebody's got to restock. But anyway, Nick, thank you so much. Thanks for bringing us the books and the CD and even a notepad with your name on it.
See?
Which is very cool.
So bring some good swag.
Yes, absolutely. And everybody go check them out. And great weekend, everyone. Jen?
It's finally the weekend.
It is the weekend. We didn't even mention it, but now that you mentioned it, yes.
It's your favorite day.
My favorite day. And we'll see everybody on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.